This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, see, I thought that's what you were setting up for, but I surprised you, Grandy. Come on. Ah, I love that sound. Yeah, because it's Friday, and it is 5 o'clock, and the 5 o'clock pop is brought to you by Farmers Brewing Company. Whatever time it is, wherever you are, join us as we get ready for this sports weekend, which features playoff basketball and no Warriors. We are going to be sipping on their premium light lager called Farmer's Light. I wonder where it got its name. Just 99 calories per 12 fluid ounces. Go grab a six-pack from Farmer's Brewing at your nearest grocery store and enjoy the game with us and the beer right here on 95.7 The Game.
Playoffs tomorrow, 10 a.m. Magic and Cavs, will you get up and put that baby straight on? Are you with the NBA playoffs knowing the Warriors aren't in it?
Yeah, literally in a little bit of a moment. It's only a moment. I'll get back to it. But, like, I don't want to watch the Kings and Pelicans tonight.
No?
I don't want to watch it.
Who are you rooting for, though? You want to see the little Beamers make it in?
I kind of do. Like, I poke at the Sacramento Kings fan base so much that people will not believe this. If the Warriors didn't exist, that's who I'd root for. I love Sacramento. I love De'Aaron Fox. Sabonis is completely annoying. But outside of that, Mike Brown, like a lot of the things about the Kings, I love. Golden 1 Center's a ton of fun. We've gone up there to see games and shows. And like, I got absolutely, other than Sabonis, nothing bothers me about the Sacramento Kings. And I hope they win. And with Zion out, maybe they will.
There's another, just getting back to Draymond Green, there's another person who probably would not say Draymond's necessarily the greatest guy. Sabonis, who got outwardly stomped on by Draymond last
year. Yeah, but Sabonis is an instigator, too. He's
not on the same level as Draymond Green.
No, but he's completely out of pocket on the court. He thinks that the other person is wrong all the time.
That's a large majority of players in the association.
I think it's maybe a majority of the stars that we talk about, but I don't feel like the energy around that is not the same for every player. There's only a few who really, it feels like you're really unnecessarily complaining and your facial expressions are in the wrong on almost every play. There's Luka, there's Sabonis.
Draymond.
No, I don't feel that way.
Wow.
I just feel when he argues too much. I don't think he argues on every single play at all. I don't feel that way.
Okay. I mean, I feel, and that's one reason why watching Draymond Green play basketball is tough for me. The word triggering, and for me it's more of an activation when you watch him play, and it's even plays that he's not involved in, where he gets involved with the officials. And that, you know, maybe it's because I'm an official on my own little low, pathetic level, but watching how much he gets involved in everything, it's not something I enjoy watching. I
can't argue that.
Yeah.
I can't argue that Draymond rubs a lot of people a certain way. That's always been the case. But I just sometimes I wonder why fans don't take, or not all of them, some fans don't take what the Warriors front office says about Draymond at face value. Like, the Warriors front office's job is not to be likable.
Right.
Their job is to win. And so when they look at Draymond Green, for them, it's an easy answer. Are we better with him or without him? Well, with him. Done. Great. Then he's on.
Right.
But a lot
even
of,
when his actions are unforgivable.
Right.
And then they become forgivable.
And then you forgive him. Exactly.
Right.
So I get that some fans have reached the point where you're like, I don't care if we're worse if he's gone. I want him gone. But I also think there's a handful of fans, a good percentage of the fan base, that has fooled themselves into thinking that the Warriors could replace him and still be just as good. And I think that's a fool's errand.
Well, I don't know about the idea of just as good, because for me, you're not that good. And you can hide behind 46 and 36 if you want. I look at the way they played this year against the really good teams, and you didn't do well against the really good team. So we can say, would they be any good with Draymond or any good without Draymond? I don't think that it's going to matter. I don't think that if Draymond's back or Draymond gets traded, I don't think that you're going to be appreciably better or worse either way. You're still going to be, in my opinion, in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. You're going to be fighting for that 6 or 7 or 8 seed like you were this year. Evan had a great stat earlier with Guru that they spent more time in the 12th seed than they did in the 8th seed this year in the Western Conference. And you can look at whatever reason you want to look at, but even when Draymond played, you weren't appreciably a great team. You were a little bit better when Draymond played.
Yeah.
And so if you have Draymond or you don't have Draymond, I still don't think you're going to be a real threat in the Western Conference.
You talked about the record with and without him. They are clearly a better team with him.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. And we could look at the opponents that they played when he played, and we could split hairs all the way through.
Let's go to Cliff in Vallejo. Hey Cliff, what are you doing?
What's going on, guys? What's happening with you, man?
What's
top
good,
Cliffy? Hey, man, what's going on, man? The main thing going on is it's 420 weekend. That's the main point right there.
So you're gonna have a day tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, and you know that Cliff rhymes with spliff, am I right?
Put the plants in the ground, that's all I can tell you. And October is coming, baby. You know what time it is.
Oh, yeah,
that's
harvest season.
Like that.
Let's go.
Yes,
October.
Ibs smokes kush.
Man, talk to him, Spliffy.
You're crazy. Hey, but what's going on? Yeah, man, the rat on the table is, ever since that punch, the Warriors have not been the same team.
Man.
And that's just the way it is. I'm going to put it to you like this, bro. If I was on the team, if you was on your high school team, and your whole player attacked one of your other players, whether he was good or bad or whatever he was, would you want to play with that guy again? And that's where I think where Wiggins is coming from, with all this time that he took off and all of that, he didn't want to play with Draymond Green.
Well, no, come on, Cliff. That's not why Andrew Wiggins was out. Can you imagine if that's why? And Cliff, I can't argue that act didn't change the course of some things. It almost certainly did. And we've also, God, we've talked that thing out 1,000 different ways for 1,000 hours. So I think it's time we move on from that. But when you get to the point of saying that is still in the locker room this year, and that certain players are making decisions because they don't want to be around Draymond Green, if Andrew Wiggins were doing that, they would have kicked his butt to the curb a long time ago.
Look at Wiggins' number pre-punch versus his numbers post-punch. He has not been the same player.
Stop it.
He was clearly emotionally
affected. The same player last year that he was every other year except for 2 months when they won the title. Exact same player.
Emotional ramifications.
Well, then you're weak.
Well,
if you can't play because you don't like a coworker, I got a word for that. It's called unprofessional.
Well, there's other words that could be used, but I mean,
damn right here.
Bottom line, you look at this offseason, and I don't know if whatever you do with Klay Thompson, fine. Steph's back and Draymond's back. I can't imagine if they bring back Andrew Wiggins that the veterans are going to be that open to another year of playing with Andrew Wiggins and suffering through his inconsistencies.
Want to transition a little bit to tell everybody about the Dwight Clark Legacy Series. This is something that this show is getting knee-deep into, and we're very, very excited about it. The Dwight Clark Legacy Series event this year is going to be held in San Jose on May 16th, next month, California Theater in San Jose at 7 o'clock. Fun event. We'll be there. We're doing our show that day there, and then we're hanging out for the event, which is going to be hosted by our friends Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt, NBC Sports Bay Area. A roundtable discussion will be involved in that event. Four former 49er great quarterbacks, Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith, Steve Young. Actually, I shouldn't have said four former and one current. Three former and a current. This guy, Brock Purdy, is going to be in there, a roundtable discussion about natural-born leaders. John Lynch is going to speak at the event as well. You can be at this event with us.
Brock okay? Purdy.
There you go. It all benefits the Golden Heart Fund, which essentially is a player-led group, former 49ers, supporting one another as they navigate challenges in retirement after playing football. Tickets are $87. If you're a 49er fan, you get that. That's Dwight Clark's old number. And they are available now at DwightClarkAward.com. DwightClarkAward.com. So with that, these four quarterbacking greats, these natural-born leaders, have agreed to talk to Willie and Dibby.
Nice.
Leading up to the event on May 16th. The first of the four, none other than the great Jeff Garcia, who joins us now. It is wonderful to have you, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just getting ready to coach my daughter's basketball game this afternoon. So just getting ready for pickup of the kids and all that stuff. Dad duty.
Awesome.
We know exactly how that's like. How's the team doing this year?
So far, so good when my daughter plays.
Dominant.
She helps the team out quite a bit. This is a 12-year-old squad. It's a fifth and sixth grade team, but we're having fun. There's a lot of girls that are new to the game, and then there's Faith, my girl. She just kind of takes it to another level. So fortunate to have her when we have her. But she had eye surgery a couple weeks ago, so we'll see how her shot is today.
Man, all right.
Well, good luck. Good luck with that. And you know, it's funny. I was thinking about, okay, this time of year for the 49ers and Jeff Garcia. And here's something I wanted to ask you, especially after the famous 39-38 win, but you know, followed up with a disappointing loss in the playoffs. And I wanted to ask you this. How long does it take to get over a disappointing playoff loss?
It's tough. And I know the 49ers, wow, the last, you know, two Super Bowls, it's got to be really tough for those guys that have been a part of both those teams. But even if it's your first experience, I mean, you know, there are teams in the National Football League that never make the playoffs, that just struggle to get there. And then there are teams that have that consistency of getting back there. I mean, obviously Kansas City Chiefs are that team that New England was for two decades, that the 49ers were for the 80s and 90s. You know, but not everybody gets that opportunity. And so for what the guys are feeling, what I had felt at times going through it, making it to the playoffs, making it to the second round, and then losing out, whether it was to Tampa the year with the 49ers in 2002 or in 2007, I was with the Eagles. We made it to the second round and lost to New Orleans. You know, it's devastating. It's disappointing. It's discouraging. You think a lot about what you could have done differently. How could I have made a play here or there? How could I have changed a couple decisions? How could I have been a little bit more effective at certain points of the game? Those type of things will eat you up. And I think for competitors, for guys who expect a lot out of themselves, for guys that expect to be champions, that's what motivates them. It's not so much the wins that they have under their belt, but it's the tough losses that they've experienced. And and what they learn from those losses and how they grow from those losses and how they turn things around going into the next year. And it's tough to make the Super Bowl. I never made it there. For some of these 49ers, it's been their second trip, but both times they've been on the downside, the negative side. And so, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of will to get back there again. You have to have luck on your side. You have to stay healthy. You have to have the right pieces in place, the draft, the free agency, the keeping the nucleus of the team together, all those things come into play, keeping solidarity amongst the coaching staff, the system that they run. That's important. That's why certain teams continue to struggle year in and year out, because there's always changes taking place. But those teams that find consistency, that from the top down are able to stay together, are able to grow together, those are the teams that are able to battle and make it into the playoffs. Once you make it into the playoffs, anything can happen. The 49ers have been so close. Hopefully they can get back there again.
49er quarterback Jeff Garcia here on 95.7 The Game. What advice would you give to Brock Purdy after such a disappointment? Or what advice did you give him if you had a chance to talk to him after being so close in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really communicate with Brock, but the kid has been awesome. The young man has been awesome. I mean, going into really his first full-time year as a starter, what we saw in the first year, toward the second half of the season, what he was able to do, step on the field and perform the magic that he did. Everybody was questioning, was this a fluke? Can he continue it? Can he build on that? Well, he did. He had a great second year in the league, led the team to the Super Bowl, played a relatively good game in the Super Bowl. Didn't really have major mistakes, led drives. You know, unfortunately, they just didn't come out with the win against a really good football team. And it took overtime to give that up. And so I think he's just going to look at this offseason as, you know, continue to build on himself, continue to build on his physicality, whether it's continuing to build up his arm strength, his strength just on the field, his speed, all his locker room intangibles. Leadership, how he affects his teammates, how he encourages his teammates, how he gets his teammates together during the off season for some unsupervised workouts, all the film study that he does. I know he's a student of the game. I know that he takes a very serious approach to his craft. I know that the fuel to his fire is still there. I mean, even after being considered an MVP candidate last year, people still want to knock him. They want to doubt him. They want to call him a system quarterback. They want to call him a game manager, all those things. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. He manages the game as well as anybody in the National Football League. He does exactly what he's supposed to do, and then some. He's able to be creative when he has to be, but when he's playing within the pocket, he utilizes his weapons around him. He runs Coach Kyle Shanahan's offense to a T, and that's another thing with Kyle now having this quarterback 2 years under his belt. He's going to continue to grow with him within this system, add more things, allow him to handle more things at the line of scrimmage from the standpoint of audibles or check with me's, all those things that come with maturity, development, experience on the field. He's going to be able to do with Brock, and Brock's going to take it on. Brock is just a great young quarterback to have in your system to continue to grow with, build with, and surround him with great talent, which they have there in San Francisco.
Jeff, does that make sense to you that after the way he's looked the last couple of years, that people are still, I mean, quite frankly, questioning whether or not he's good?
I mean, we heard it from whether it was media or people just want to chime in, but he is good. When I watch him play, he has great rhythm and timing. He gets the ball. He has great accuracy, anticipation. He sees the defense well. He went through a stretch of 2 to 3 games in the middle of the season where he had some struggles, threw some picks, those sort of things. But he cleaned it up. Cleaned it up, went back out on the field, didn't get discouraged by any of it, didn't tank himself. Hey, he rebounded. He overcame it. You know, the guy just plays the game like a 10-year vet. He plays the game with poise, with calmness, collectiveness. You don't see him ever frazzled, so to speak. He doesn't get doesn't seem like the game is too big for him at any point. And he's just a battler. He's a warrior. And you love having a guy like that. And not to say reminds me of him myself, but we were the smaller in stature kind of guys, but we were resilient. We fought through difficult times, fought through adversity, fought through physical or mental pain, and overcame it. And that was like the fuel. That was just like what drove us, gave us that grit, gave us that determination to prove people wrong. To, not that it matters outside of the locker room, and that's where I stopped drinking the poison and not worrying about what everybody else was saying, but really just concerned with what my teammates and my coaches thought or believed about me. And that was the most important thing to me. And I know that's what he does. Hey, he's very focused on his craft and focused on being the best that he can be for the team.
Jeff Garcia here on 95.7 The Game, and you answered what I was going to ask you about the kinship that you feel between yourself and Brock, and I can kind of see a lot of you in him when I watch him. And I want to ask you, though, about the system that he runs and how much you'd like to be running that same system with you know, two running backs and a couple of tight ends and a lot of that play action and boot action that you were so good at.
Absolutely. There's a lot of variation with what Kyle does. From the standpoint of personnel on the field, he's always changing it up. He's creating different looks, running similar plays. I mean, the screen game, how many screen passes behind the line of scrimmage do they complete in a game or during a season that convert to 9-plus yard gains? I think the average for the 49ers catching a ball behind the line of scrimmage was 9 yards of positive yards. I mean, to do that consistently is amazing. And a lot of that has to do with how Kyle creates, making everything look like another play that they may have in their game plan, a run play that looks exactly like what they would do for a screen, for a bootleg, for a naked. All those things create questions within a defense and forcing a defense to not just cover vertically, but also cover all 52 yards of sideline to sideline. That's important. That's what Kansas City does. They force you to cover the entire field, and that makes it very difficult on defenses. But, you know, there was a time where I had a chance to sign with Denver, and I kicked myself because Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike, was the head coach there in Denver. We had a talk. I really wanted to go there because I loved his system. I loved how they utilized the run game. No matter who was running the football, they always had a 1,000-yard rusher. Yep. And then they built off of that run game, that zone run with their bootlegs, their nakeds, their play action, all of that stuff. And Kyle is just taking it to another level. He does such a great job of scheming and creating opportunities for his weapons to make plays, for his quarterback to be decisive, to make good decisions, to get outside the pocket. You're never just setting up 3 or 5 or 7 yards deep in the pocket. You're always moving the pocket. That creates a lot of pressure on defenses and forces them to cover a lot of ground. And that's where it benefits Brock. It benefits all the weapons that he has at his disposal.
All right, Jeff, we want to let our listeners all know also that as part of the Dwight Clark Legacy Series that happens every year, you're teaming up with Steve Young, Alex Smith, and the aforementioned Brock Purdy to be a part of an event that's coming up to benefit the Golden Heart Fund. We'll let our listeners know more about it, but basically it benefits, it allows former 49ers to help other former 49ers with their life after the NFL. And so people can buy tickets and come see the four of you with a natural born leaders conversation. Tickets are $87. That's Dwight's number. Of course, you can get them at DwightClarkAward.com. And all of the proceeds are going to go to the Golden Heart Fund. This is happening on May 16th at 7 o'clock. And so natural born leaders, how would you describe your leadership style?
I think I led with just toughness, heart, a mindset that I was going to will my way to make a positive happen. And it was all through doing it myself. It wasn't the words that were coming out of my mouth. It wasn't walking in with a certain arrogance or an overconfident type of mentality. It was really just being gritty. It was getting dirty with the guys. Hey, being that guy that was in the weight room, that was in the classroom studying, that was on the field doing the extra things, really focused on how I could continue to critique myself and to better myself, and how I can encourage my teammates to rise above the level of what they may have thought that they were already at, but to reach higher, to be bigger, to be better, all those things. And it comes from just your own approach. It comes from your mentality. It comes from your will to not be denied. And, you know, that's, I think, a lot of what describes me as that kid from Gilroy growing up, watching my dad coach at the junior college level, watching him inspire and motivate young people to be the best that they can be in their own lives. And I just carried that torch on, and hopefully people saw that in me as a player for the 49ers and throughout my NFL career.
Well, it's going to be a great night. We can't wait to see you there. California Theater in San Jose, May 16th. Roundtable discussion. Yourself, Steve Young, Alex Smith, Brock Purdy, General Manager John Lynch is going to be there as well. The annual Dwight Clark Award will be presented to a current 49er player. And again, all of the proceeds go to the Golden Heart Fund, and all of this available at DwightClarkAward.com. Sounds fun, Jeff. We're looking forward to it. You looking forward to it?
I am. It's going to be a great night. It'll be great to be there with Steve and Alex and Brock and just have that conversation. And then also just what it benefits. You know, the Golden Heart Fund really goes back to supporting players of the past, 49er players of the past. Hey, not everybody was making the salaries that they're making today.
Right.
You look back 20, 30, 40 years, guys weren't making those dollars, but they came out with a lot of pain, a lot of their own personal struggles. And I think that's what this is so great. You have a chance as a fan, as a player, to give back, to really help support and create or provide resources for these ex-Niners to help their own rehabilitation, help their own lives to be better.
Yeah, now that you're seeing quarterbacks are about to get $60 million a year, do you talk to your parents maybe about, you know, you were born a little too early maybe?
I mean, from my size standpoint, you know, that was the knock of me coming out of college in 1994. I didn't look like Troy Aikman, you know, so I wasn't drafted, but gosh, things have changed. I probably would have been drafted.
Yeah.
I would have had a $50+ million contract. No, but you know what? At the end of the day, I was very blessed to be able to do what I loved doing, what I grew up doing as a kid and dreaming about doing. And I had a good career, and I was able to do some things on that field that are memorable and support my family and be in a financial position to where I'm living a good life. And if I can help out others, if I can do things for others, because that's what it all comes down to, being able to bring awareness and help guide people to helping others in need. And this is one of those opportunities for me to be a part of it. It's the fourth year of it. Dwight was one of my heroes growing up, watching the catch and all the great things that he did and his suffering toward the end of his life. But now he's giving back and his legacy lives on. And for me to be a part of that is just a tremendous experience and opportunity for me.
That's awesome, Jeff.
Yeah, we love it, man. We love it. We love talking to you. So we appreciate this, and we very much look forward to seeing you on May 16th. Thank you, Jeff.
You got it, guys. Great time, and we'll see you on the 16th. Take care.
Yep, you too. We look forward to it. Jeff Garcia. Dude, that's going to be a big-time night.
I'm already nervous.
You bring your phone.
Seriously.
We get a picture or something.
Yeah, pictures of all these QBs, and maybe if Brock's lucky, we'll let him in the photo.
I'd like a photo of you and Brock, both with your backpacks on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Me and Jeff, a couple of former gingers who are both currently somewhat bald. That's the picture I want. Jeff, did we lose you?
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, come take a picture with my friend Dibs, since neither of you have any hair.
Well, we both were redhead at one point.
You were.
And now neither one of us really...
But you both got red beards.
Mine's a little bit more salt. A little paprika in there.
A little paprika. A little Lowry's seasoned salt.
A little bit. A little bit of that Lowry's. We got the Kinders working right now, that all seasoning.
No, man, that'll be fun. It was announced actually just this week that Dre Greenlaw is going to be the recipient of the award. Maybe that adds a little extra juice and emotion to the whole thing because Dre, who of course was lost to the injury in the Super Bowl, is going to be there receiving the award. Recent winners, Fred Warner, Eric Armstead, George Kittle. And again, all of it goes to that Golden Heart Fund. So just one more time, if you want to join us and them and everyone there, tickets are $87. DwightClarkAward.com. May 16th in San Jose.
The Dwight Clark Legacy Series. And, I mean, there's no greater legacy that you could probably pinpoint for the Niners than Dwight Clark.
Oh, you said for the Niners. I thought you were just going to say there's no greater legacy, and I was going to say, I mean, what about Draymond Green?
Yeah, it's quite a legacy that he's left, and, you know, boy.
Noted.
You had to bring it back to that. I was just...
Well, I did because Robin wants to get loose, and it's Friday, so we should let Robin get loose. Don't
hey,
you
Sugar?
Think?
Of course. Yeah, yeah. As long as she opens it up with a, hey, how you doing, Sugar?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Robin time right here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Robin.
Guys, I'm glad you didn't hear what we were just talking about in the car.
Why?
I'm going to tell you. Because where I work for a senior citizen in a senior citizen building, and Japanese and Russian, a lot of times we're playing Russian, how you call that, to understand one another. So the lady kept pointing at the door, like something there. We thought she was just complaining. And I went to the door later and found a crack pipe and some cigarette butts. But then I told my manager, now this is inside a senior citizen building, okay, guys? And so I told her, I said, oh, you know, that's not a crack pipe, that's a meth pipe. But she was like, as if it makes any difference.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm glad I asked. But anyway, yeah, I imagine you had something that was not meth pipe related.
No, yes, I did.
Okay.
We were in the middle of the conversation when I heard my name. I was like, be quiet, be quiet. So anyway, I just want to say about the Draymond Green situation. Okay, I've been on the station. You guys know I can't stand him. I do not like Draymond Green. Nothing about him. Okay? And I hate when people say things that I have to defend him. You know, I can't be fair, but I do not like Draymond Green. And here's, I'm feeling a little indifferent. First of all, when I hear people say, oh, we wouldn't have won championship without him. Well, you know, what about KD? We wouldn't have won a championship without KD.
Well, you did, but Robin, you did win two championships without KD.
But, you know, but he wasn't always the focal point. Just think about it. I mean, we had players that knew the system, that knew that could play motion ball. That so he was an integral part when we first won, but he wasn't the only part. It's only until we lost players that we only had three players left, and one was injured, maybe four, Looney, that knew the offense. And then he became the focal point. The dynamic of the team changed, and I felt, for me, and I felt like that's when Draymond really became more of a focal point. So it's not to take away from him, but I say that to say this. I kind of lost respect for the Warriors organization because, you know, it's like you can't let a three-year-old get away with stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, what you look like letting somebody run you, and to the point where they feel like they're not replaceable, that they are needed. And, you know, I have much more respect for, like, the Pat Rileys, the Bill Walsh, who got rid of Haley and you know, because he messed with the wrong person, which was Jerry Rice. So, you know, I just feel like they let him get away with stuff like you would let your three-year-old get away with, like a three-year-old. And I kind of lost a little respect for that. How far can you go? And I think it was until Curry finally threw up his hands those last 3 months. And so when you hear Kerr talk, when you hear Dunleavy talk, it's like, stop with these damn excuses about this boy. It's like they're enabling and justifying him. And yes, he's good. Yes, he's vital right now. But, you know, I just feel indifferent about him. The only thing I'm certain about is that I can't stand it.
Yeah, right, but guys? I mean, yeah.
Thank you, Robin.
Thanks. I mean, here's the crazy thing. She's not wrong. You can accuse the Warriors of enabling. So many people agree with Robin. They feel exactly like she just described. and you know what I'm going to say next. Like,
and the Warriors gave him a four-year deal, and they want to keep him around.
But they're also right to do that. Like, you can accuse them of enabling. You can't accuse them of being wrong. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, they were wrong this year.
No, they weren't.
They were wrong last year. I mean, you can say.
I mean, well, last year that was already a previous contract. But my point is that when they say exactly what Steve Kerr said earlier this week, do you want the four championships or not? So you can get mad at them for enabling. You might be right, but I feel like you can only go so far with that point unless you're willing to say, and the championships don't matter. I'd have given them back. Like, I'm so mad at Draymond Green, and they enabled him, which I didn't hear a lot of people say until he punched Jordan Poole, which was literally only a few months after they had a parade.
Literally,
yeah, just a few months after a parade. So, you can't have one without the other.
You can have the opinion that this latest contract and the fact that they didn't suspend him, which was after the championship, that was enabling and they shouldn't have signed him. That has nothing to do with the four championships. And you don't have to give those championships back if you're of the mind of Robin and myself that enough is enough. He was great. And you won four championships. And forget the fact that he cost you one, because if he didn't cost you the one, you wouldn't have gotten KD. And without KD, you don't get the other two. So I don't play that game of what he cost you versus what he netted you.
Well,
I know this. He's won four championships with the Warriors. And he also, what he did to Jordan Poole and what the team did in not punishing him, I thought was a mistake. I said it then. I stand by it. And then they went out and gave him an extension. And I'm not in favor of that either.
And that's all completely fair.
It doesn't mean I have to give back the four championships.
No, but you have to give back the opinion that he ruined this season.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely not.
Because that opinion is based on you being not able to function without him.
So I don't think they can function with him.
Well, but,
so that's my point.
Okay,
it has nothing to do with him ruining the season.
Well, then he didn't ruin this season.
This season was this season no matter what.
Well, no, that's not true at all.
If he would have played, if he wouldn't have gotten suspended, I don't think that they would have been a team that would have advanced deep in the playoffs, or maybe they don't even make the playoffs.
But that's a hypothetical.
Right, so, and we'll never know because he couldn't control himself.
But so many have said that this is definitely a 50-win team if he doesn't get suspended. And if you feel that way, then I'm confused. That's my only point.
Right. I don't feel that way.
I'm not here to tell you what your emotions are. I can't tell you what they are. You can hate Draymond Green with every fiber of your being. That's not even my business. But what I can do is say you have to pick one or the other if your eventual point is that Draymond either should be traded now or they should not have re-signed him at the end of last season. You cannot say he ruined this year too in the framework of those other opinions, because he ruined this year too, the premise of that is the Warriors can't function without him and he was unavailable. So if they can't function without him, you can't request that he's gone.
They
that
can't
doesn't make
function
any sense.
With him, and they can't function without him. And by function, we're talking about being a winning team.
But what's your evidence that they can't function with him this year? What's your evidence of that?
They couldn't beat the good teams when he played, when he didn't play.
The record is very good when he played.
Right, and I'll go through and look at every team that they played, but the teams that they played who were good when they had Draymond or they didn't have Draymond, they usually didn't win those games. Mm-hmm. So I look at a team that was 46-36, and they were a 10 seed. So the functionality with him and without him, for me, largely the same.
We're sponsored by Safeway, and we're about to put a bow on this darn thing and then set up Grandy. And Grandy's got something you'll really enjoy. What do you hear about that? It's all coming up.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We'll be right back.
Great. Let's drink.
Let's go to Dibs, half of the bag.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You agree with what I said earlier, that Brandon Ayuk is more likely to be a 49er this fall than Klay Thompson is a Warrior?
Yes, I do. Okay. But neither one I would put at 100%. And the idea of Brandon Ayuk getting traded, it's something I said a couple of months ago that if I were the Niners, I'd take definitely a hard look at it. If I could get a first-round pick back, get a rookie receiver in there and reset the clock and start the clock over, as opposed to pay two wide receivers $25 million a year.
Dangerous game.
It's very dangerous. It's a dangerous game. Was laughed at, and it was seemingly...
Who laughed at you?
Well, you kind of did.
I did?
I mean, you didn't laugh at me, but you thought that it was something that wouldn't happen. And I don't think a lot of people thought that it would happen, but it seems now, as we sit here 6 days away from the first round of the draft, it's still out there.
Oh, it's all
it's possible.
Of course, anything's possible. I don't think by any stretch it's a crazy concept. I do think people are maybe overstating a little bit the financial stuff that's in play here. Which, in other words, it's like, oh my God, how are you going to pay two receivers at once with the Brock Purdy deal? Well, again, you don't even have to think about what Purdy's going to make until after this season, and then you don't have to pay him until the season after that. He is only halfway through that four-year deal for $7 that they got him for. He's only halfway through. So what that means is the way I would look at it, I almost feel... like it's more likely. How many more years are left on Debo's deal that he got? What's Debo's?
I think he's got three more years.
Three more?
Yeah, I thought so.
Debo Samuel contract. Let me pull this up for a sec, okay? Debo Samuel signed a new deal and will be you are correct. Okay, so no. Hold on.
Yeah, 24?
Got 24, 25, and then no, because then they move into like option years, basically. Is that right?
Well, the dead cap after 25.
That's what it is. You got it out after 2025.
Well, after 2024, you have an out, and it's only $15 million in dead cap.
Right, but you have a full out of after 2025. Yes, so after this coming year. I think it's way more likely that they exercise that.
And have a dead cap of $15
million. Way more likely that they re-sign Brandon Ayuk, play them together for one more year, and then move on from Debo.
That's the most likely thing.
Before Brandon's extension kicks in and before Brock Purdy and his extension kick in. I think that's the way I would play it if I were the 49ers.
And Brandon's number would go down for this year because the extension wouldn't start until the year after.
Yeah, and then you could get out from Debo if you wanted to. Let's see. I mean, for me, the Debo thing is not anything against Debo Samuel other than that to say in 2025, 26, he's going to turn 30. And that guy's body worries me because of the way that he plays. He is always getting hurt because he's a battering ram out there. And so I wonder if the Niners don't start setting up for something new with their receiving core, but in the back of their mind, it's Debo that they're replacing, not Brandon. That's if I were them, that's what I would be thinking right now. And so I think this is just hardball. You've watched the Niners do it with Debo one off season and Nick Bosa the next. I think that this will go into August, and then they'll figure it out. But their intent, based on everything I'm hearing, is to not trade Brandon Ayuk. Doesn't mean that they won't, but that extra cap money came in, and then whatever the numbers were exchanged, and it feels to me like the Niners are probably comfortable enough with them to move beyond the draft. Because don't you agree, if he's not traded by Thursday, he's not going anywhere.
Right. I mean, and the only reason why you would trade him is if you got a first-round pick, I think. You're not just going to trade him for a second and a fourth next year or a pick swap. You're looking for something big that you can use this Thursday in 6 days. And you're picking 31, and you'd love to have a chance to you know, maybe pick 13 and 31. And if that's what you wanted to do, you would want to use one of those picks, I think, on a receiver in a year where there are a lot of good receivers out there.
Deep receiver draft, which also means you might be able to mess around on that market in the second and third round.
Of course.
Where they've got a bunch of picks. So
you really need that to fulfill as a need, but I don't think you have that because you have Juwan Jennings on a qualified offer, and he'll be coming back.
Yeah,
but that's
just this year.
You also saw that they signed Trent Taylor.
Yes.
So
that's the return punts.
Right.
That's the Ray Ray.
Okay, but he's also a guy who you can put in there in the slot if you want to go three wides.
The slot.
You have him. You just have him as a guy,
he's
you know.
He's in the slot.
I just don't think receiver, if you don't trade Brandon Ayuk, then I don't think that receiver is a need as opposed to O-line and secondary.
Correct, but not right
linebacker.
Away. But you got to start setting it up. Like, I also look, and this is why I'd be so terrified when people go, trade Brandon for a first-round pick and then use it on a receiver. That scares the hell out of me. Because even the really good receivers in the draft, that's a position that takes a minute. That takes a minute. It's not running back. It's not offensive line. You can't just walk in and be like, I'm very good right away. You know, I famously dropped Justin Jefferson in my fantasy league his rookie year because why? It didn't click until like week 10. And then even then, it was like, fine. And it was year two where he popped. The Niners are in too much of a Super Bowl window. I'm not giving away my number one receiver for a maybe. Unless Brandon's like 30 mil or I walk.
Right.
Which, by the way, he can't do. That's another thing that's important to mention in this conversation. Brandon has this much leverage. I'm holding two fingers right next to one another. He's got no leverage. He's under contract next year, and the Niners can threaten the franchise tag after that. He literally can't go anywhere. So this whole idea of, like, pay me or I'm out, where are you going? You can't go anywhere. Like,
he has more leverage than that, than your two minuscule fingers put together. Well, he can play hardball, or he can play, you know, I'm going to get hurt, or he can do things to make life uncomfortable, which is what Debo did, which is why
Debo didn't really do that. All Debo did was what Brandon did, which is mess around on social media. They're not going to actually
Well, you get past the draft, and then if you haven't done anything with Brandon Ayuk, if you haven't signed him, and they won't, and if they haven't traded him, they probably won't, then Ayuk is going to be a 49er, and unless you drafted his replacement, you kind of need Brandon Ayuk.
But my point is you may draft a receiver, but it's not even about Ayuk. It's about working a guy through the system for a year before he really needs to pop in year two when maybe you move on from Debo Samuel.
Sure.
Like, that's what I would, and that's why, find someone in the weeds. Second, third round, find someone there. I don't
need, like a Jalen Hurd.
Well, you know. Look, they don't always work.
Just please don't draft a receiver, Niners. I mean, you've had a pretty poor track record.
Dante Pettis.
I'd rather they draft a receiver in the third round than a running back, I can tell you that.
There's another one, yeah.
Yeah, so listen, to me, that's the focus of this whole thing because, by the way, your first round receivers can be bust too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen Reagor was taken right before Justin Jefferson.
Good call.
Nice job, Eagles. Way to go.
And I wonder what the drafting is going to be like without Adam Peters, because he was one of your big personnel guys, and now he's a Washington. So, John Lynch, all eyes more squarely on you and Kyle, now that you've had a little bit of a brain drain in the front office. Hopefully you go out there and get a good player at 31, somebody who can come in and help you right away.
Offensive line is probably what I would think I don't know about the first round.
Right.
It depends on how guys are evaluated and what's available and all of that stuff. But it felt like when we left the season, most of us were focused on that being need number one.
Yeah.
In terms of how the 49ers could improve next year. All right, man. Great stuff. Thanks for all the engagement today, everybody. Really, really fun.
Good week.
Yeah. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm good.
Okay. Me neither. But I'll tell you what you should do. Stay right where you are, because here comes Grandy, best of the game, full hour of today's best content, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Baseball
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.